We begin the current daf Masechtas Nedarim daf Peches. We begin on the bottom of daf Peizayin Amud Beis, three lines up in the bottom of the Amud, where the Gemara brings a contradiction from the halacha of our Mishnah, from the following Bryce, and that is that the Mishnah told us a unique perspective on this halacha of the husband or the father's ability to be made for the neder of the woman. And that is, the pasuk says B'yoyim Shama, and the day that he hears of the neder. Now, what our Mishnah teaches us is that it doesn't literally mean physical hearing. Hearing has to be implicit that you know that you could be made for the neder. So therefore, the first halacha of the Mishnah said, let's say he said, I knew that the neder that my wife made was a neder, but I didn't know that I could be made for the neder. And he only found that 3 weeks later. The day that he finds that he can be made for the neder is going to be the day that's considered B'yayim Shammai, because that's the day that he knows that he can be made for this neder. And then, if he's not made for that day, then it's going to be considered a kiyam, but he could still be made for that day. Now, however, there was a machlokes in the Mishnah regarding an intermediate type of a knowledge, which is that he says that I knew that I could be made for a certain nadarm of my wife on the day that I heard it, which was a few weeks ago, or it's this day when she's making the nether. Says, but I didn't know, or I don't know, that if this is the type of nether that I could be made for. He didn't know the parameters of halacha. He knew that this is a nether. He knows he could be made for some nadarm of his, not all nadarm, has to be inu nefesh, dvam shabinay labinam, but he didn't know if this fits into any of the categories that he could be made for the nether. Now, on that, we had a machlekes Rav Meir and the Chacham. And this is going according to the first interpretation of the Ran in the Mishnah. That is, Rav Meir says, you can never be mefer. You can't be mefer the day that you hear the neder, and neither could you even be mefer the day that you end up finding out that you could be mefer that type of a neder. The reason being is because Rav Meir holds that the day that you hear about it is not considered a complete yediyah. You don't really know that you could be mefer this neder or not. You know you could be mefer some nedarim. If it's not considered a full knowledge, hence that doesn't fit into the category of what B'yayim Shammai is, which is a knowledge that you could be mefer. That's the day that you hear it, then you could be mefer. Whereas the Chacham said that, no, you could be mefer on the day that you hear of it, even though you don't know totally if this is a type of neder you could be mefer or not. But since you have part knowledge that you know this is a neder, and you could be mefer a certain nedarim, so even though you don't know in totality that you could be, that would be considered a valid hafar. That's the machlekes in the Mishnah. On that very minimum, and that's what the Gemara poses, a contradiction in the following Braisa, in each opinion, that of the Chacham and that of Rav Meir, where the Braisa brings the following Pasuk. Pasuk Mamidbar that says, B'loi Ra'ais, which this is in the context of somebody that kills someone else by mistake, where the penalty is that he has to go into Galus, into exile, into the Ari Alavim, to the Ir Miklot. Now, that the Pasuk says, that it's describing someone that kills by mistake. It's without looking. He didn't do it intentionally. Now that, the first opinion the Braisa says, now prat lesuma, that terminology in the pasuk that's saying that if someone kills by mistake, he has to go into exile, is excluding a blind person, who if he kills someone by mistake, he doesn't go into exile. Why? From the fact that the pasuk says b'loi ra'is, because someone that killed someone without seeing, he didn't do it on purpose, sounds like it's only here that he doesn't see. Meaning he just didn't see this guy, and by mistake he slammed him with a hammer. But somewhere else, he does see. So therefore, that excludes a blind person who never sees. That's the Rabbi Huda, that's the opinion of Rabbi Huda, that a blind person who kills by mistake doesn't go into exile. Rabbi Meir, he says, actually, the words b'lei ra'is, ala rabbi es asuma. Actually, it includes a blind person to say that if he kills by mistake, he's also going to go into gullus. Now, what's the reason for that? What would be the definition of a blind person who kills by mistake going into exile? Now, the reason is because he has partial knowledge. In other words, a blind person may not be able to see, but that's just one of his five senses. But he senses, in other ways, when someone else is coming near him. Now, although he doesn't have a conclusive knowledge, because he can't ascertain exactly where the person is that he killed by mistake, since he doesn't see him, still, it's considered like enough of a knowledge of another person. Hence, you are considered not like an oynes gamer, not like a totally unrelated type of a murder. It was by mistake, but there was still some type of a negligence. It was just inadvertent because you were aware of someone else. Now, therefore, that's what Meir is saying, is that a blind person is enough liable because you have partial knowledge. You know someone is near you, although not with sight, but with some other of one of your senses. And therefore, that's included in someone that killed by mistake. That's Machlekes Rabbi Huda and Rav Meir in that price. Now, that the Ran explains, according to the first interpretation that we said in the Mishnah, in the opinion of the Machlekes Rav Meir and the Chachamim, the Gemara is now is posing contradiction from Rav Meir on Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda on Rav Yehuda, as follows. In this Braisa, Rav Meir is saying that the words b'loi ra'ois, of not seeing, and then you kill someone by mistake, and then that person who killed by mistake goes into Gullus, will include a blind person. How so? Because even though a blind person doesn't have complete knowledge of the person, even not regarding the murder, just of the person being next to him, but still Remeo holds what's called Miktsas Yediyah, Iskakol Yediyah, partial knowledge. You know somebody's next to you, you don't see him, but you feel him. It's considered like full knowledge of knowing that someone is next to you, like someone that sees, and just this time didn't see. Now, the problem with that is that in the Mishnah, where the halacha is that Rav Meir said that you can't be made for the day that you heard of the wife making the neder, because you didn't know that if this is the type of a neder that could be mufar, even though you know that you could be made for certain the dharm of the wife. So therefore, Rav Meir said that, but since you don't know for sure that this is that type, you can't be made for that day, that's not considered to be Yom Shammai. Obviously, we see that Rav Meir holds that Miktsas Yediyah is not Kekol Yediyah. I mean, even though you have partial knowledge, saying, wait a second, I know she's making that, I know I can make the certain adam, I just don't know if there's that type. That's the halachic equivalent of the blind person, who also knows someone's next to him, but doesn't totally know because he doesn't see. And there we find that he says it's considered like a yediyah. However, in the Mishnah, we see he considers it not like a yediyah. And therefore, it's not b'yayim shalmei. That's where Meir says you can't be made on the day that you hear the neder. Now, the other part of the contradiction is Rabbi Huda. Here in the Brice, Rabbi Huda says that the words b'loi ra'ais, the one who killed by mistake because he didn't see, that it excludes a blind person, obviously it's because he holds that partial knowledge, which is what a blind person is, he only partially knows that there's someone else there, is not like a complete knowledge of knowing someone else is there. And that's why, although a regular person that knew someone is there, but then when he killed didn't see, is going to be liable, but a blind person, since he only has partial knowledge, is not going to be considered like he had knowledge of another person. Now the problem is, in the Mishnah, the Rabbanan, who the Ran explains, that's what the Gemara means, is Rabbi Huda, because he's always the one that argues on your mayor. In the Mishnah, the Chacham, which is Rabbi Huda, says that you could do Hafara on the day that you heard the neder being made, even though you didn't know for sure that this is the type of neder that you could be made for. Obviously, we see that Miktsas Yediyah, Iska Kol Yediyah, just knowing partially that maybe I could be made for, maybe not, that's considered like a knowledge that you could be made for, and therefore that's B'yayim Shem, and therefore Yahafar is a valid Afar. That contradicts what he says in the Braisa. And this interpretation is going according to the first version of the Ran. Then the Ran has a lengthy discussion how to explain the more difficult interpretation of the second one for what the Gemara's interpretation of this question, the contradiction between the Braisa and the Mishnah. But that's the Gemara's question regarding the Mishnah of Rav Meir and the Chachamim, which is Rabbi Huda, seems to contradict them in the Braisa in regards to how do we define Miktsas Yediyah, Kekol Yediyah or not. Now, as we continue on top of Pechesim and Aleph, the Ran explains that the Gemara's question really is because the Gemara assumes that Rabbi Huda and Rav Meir are not really making inferences from the Pasuk as the wording the Braisa seems to indicate. That one says that the Pasuk sounds like this when it says B'lei Reis, another one says, no, the Pasuk means to say like that. It's just because the Gemara is assuming that each one is saying his opinion, his logic. And each one is just what's doing what's called nasmacht ba'alma, just sourcing it in the Torah, but not that that's really what the Pasuk is saying. They're just showing an allusion to that. And that's why the Gemara is asking that seemingly what their principles are is either Miktsas Yediyah, Kekol Yediyah or not, but that's being contradicted from the halacha of our Mishnah. And that is what Amar Rava. Rava answers and he says, no, it's not like we had assumed in the question that each one was just saying his svara, his logic of how he looks at partial knowledge, if that's considered like complete knowledge or not. No, actually it's contextual. Hacha minyani dekra, v'hacha minyani dekra. Each place and each halacha regarding the halacha of a forest and a dharm, and regarding someone that's a ritzeich b'shoigig, it's not just a svara that they're making up, and therefore you could ask contradiction from one to the other. It's just that it's the pasuk that what that you define each halacha separately, and you contextually define is yediyah b'miktsas going to be yediyah based on that halacha. And therefore, as the Ram points out, you can't say that, oh, you should learn that one from the other, because Nadarm and Ritzicha are two totally different halachas. So therefore, that's why it's not a question. And the truth is, you could say is that Rav Meir doesn't hold that Miktsas Yediyah is Kekol Yediyah like we thought in the Gemara's question, as you see by a blind person that's included for the punishment of Gullus. That's not why he holds that he's going to be like a regular person when he kills by mistake, because his partial knowledge is like a complete knowledge. Here it's different by the blind person who killed by mistake. It's because the pasuk is including him, not because of a svara. And therefore, that's what essentially the Gemara's answer is. It's just the Gemara's going to work through the details, is that the halachas of the partial knowledge of, let's say, the husband and his wife's neder, or the blind person regarding killing, is not a svara be'alma of, do you say mixes ideas kakal yidiyah? It's rather, how do we define the psukim? And specifically, as the Gemara is going to explain by someone who killed by mistake, the psukim will tell us if we'll consider it or not. But it doesn't contradict halacha of afaras nadarm, which is a different halacha, as the Gemara explains. Behuda savir, behuda held, gabri tzech ktsiv. When someone kills by mistake, the pasuk says in Devarim, vasher yavoy esri ehu beyar, and that if his friend comes into the forest, and then he's chopping wood, and by mistake the thing falls off, and the handle flies off, and then he kills him. Now, kol devar meyar liyar. It sounds like the one that we're talking about killing by mistake, we're talking about that the people in the forest are people that come into the forest. Now, v'sumanami bar meyar liyar, who, a blind person, is also somebody that comes into the forest. So that would sound like that he's, of course, included in the parasha of killing by mistake, who goes to Gullus. Now, v'i amrit, so therefore Rabbi Huda derives as follows. It says, if you're going to say, b'loi ra'ois l'rabbi says asuma, that the terms like Remeir had interpreted, that the words and not seeing comes to include a blind person, but me'ar nafgalei, we wouldn't need b'loi ra'ois to tell you that to include a blind person, because you already know that from the other pasuk, which just says someone who comes into the forest. Now, blind people come into the forest, so that we already know from there that he's included in this liability of going to Gullus. Rather, what is the word b'loi ra'ois coming to teach us? Must be saying prat l'suma, must be saying that it's coming to exclude a blind person. Whereas we had said before, that actually worked very well into the drasha of b'loi ra'ois, which sounds like, yeah, in the havamina, it would have been whoever doesn't even see at all. But that's what Rabbi Huda is saying. You don't need b'loi ra'ois to say to include a blind person who doesn't see at all, because I would already know that from the other pasuk of whoever comes into the forest. Must be, it's like we interpreted before, meaning that only someone that doesn't see now, and to the contrary, he sees somewhere else, so therefore it's excluding a blind person who never sees. He's the type of person that will not be liable for gullus. That's why Behuda says it, again, not because Mikitz's idea is not like idea. It's based on the interpretation of the pasuk. Whereas Remeir Saba, he learns it from somewhere else, that it's the drasha is the other way. He says, ksiv bevli das. The pasuk regarding someone that kills by mistake, the principle that the pasuk says is because he was unaware. He was unaware, so he goes to gullus. If he was aware, then he would get a higher level of punishment. Now, what that means, Remeir says, is called the bar meida. Anyone that's aware of what's going on, but when he killed, he was unaware, that's who goes into gullus. Now, besum alav bar meida hu, but a blind person, he cannot know and to ascertain exactly if his friend is there or not. And therefore, since he's not someone that's aware, so he would most necessarily not be included in the pasuk, in the penalty of gullus, because he's not aware. Someone that's aware, but here he wasn't, then the blichayev. Now, Vever Meir says, V'i amit b'lei ro'ais prat lissum, and if you're going to say like Rabbi Huda, that the words b'lei ro'ais is coming to exclude a blind person, m'bli das nafkalei, Meir says, I don't need that pasuk to tell you that. You already know it from someone that's not aware, meaning someone that has awareness, but now when he killed was not aware, that's uchayev in exile. But someone that is never aware, he's not even in the whole parasha of going to gullus. Why do we need b'lei ra'ois to exclude him? He's already excluded from bevli das. So therefore, elish maminah, rather from this, you could infer from the fact that we have another pasuk, which seemingly, you're right, b'lei ra'ois is excluding a blind person, but that was what we called in halacha, mi'at achar mi'at. When you have an exclusion, and then another exclusion of the same thing, that actually is only marba, actually comes to increase. That is, b'lei ra'ois is l'rabbis is asuma. So when it says someone who doesn't see now, but usually sees, which should exclude a blind person, but you don't need that pasuk to exclude a blind person, because you have another pasuk, b'blei das, to exclude, so it's a mi'at achar mi'at, which actually comes to do a ribui, and therefore it's actually including a blind person. And therefore the Gemara says it's not a contradiction to the halacha of our Mishnah, it's not based on svara of mikitz zeis kakal yedia, rather it's based on the context of how you define the pasuk. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, continuing on a related discussion that we had been speaking up until now, the father's ability to do hafara for his daughter's neder. Now it talks regarding a daughter, but not specifically regarding his hafara, but regarding the father's relationship with his daughter in context of a neder. As the Mishnah explains, Hamader hanom mechasonai. If someone took a neder, prohibiting all pleasure from his son-in-law. That's it, he's done with his son-in-law. He doesn't want to give him anything. You're not getting a red cent, I'm taking a nether, nothing you're getting. Now the problem is, he wants to give money to his daughter. He hates his son-in-law, doesn't want to give him anything, but his daughter he wants to give stuff to. Now the Rambam points out the reason why the Mishnah says it in the case that he wants to give her money is because if he would want to give her food and sustenance, then he wouldn't have to say, as we're going to see in the Mishnah, certain phraseology that he has to say when he wants to give her money. The reason being is because when he would give her food, then the husband would have no rights in that food, as the Rambam proves from other places. Now therefore, that's why the Tana of the Mishnah says that he wants to give his daughter money. Because whatever, she needs pocket change and the husband's not giving her anything. He wants to give his daughter. So he wants to give her some money so that you could, whatever you need to buy, you'll have money. Now the problem with that is that any money he's giving to his daughter, anything that a wife gets, the husband has rights in that. As the Gemara says in Perichas Kesabatim, where it says that when she gets something, so she can't keep it for herself, the Karen, the principal, is hers, but she has to purchase land with that, and the husband gets to eat the payers. So it comes out that if he's going to give his daughter money, then the son-in-law is going to be having hanah from his father-in-law, which is a violation of the neder that he said he can't give anything to his son-in-law. So what does he do? So what he has to do is as follows. He has to, oimalo, he tells his daughter, Hare hamoy se'elu nesun l'cha b'matana. These monies I'm giving to you, I'm gifting it to you, ubilvad, with the condition, shelo yehei lebalecha rishus ben, your husband has no rights in this money, and moreover, elamash at noises nisenes befich, that whatever utility you have in this is only when it's in your mouth. Now, as the Rambam points out, is specifically you have to say these two clauses. You have to say, A, your husband has no rights in it, and that whatever you use it for is only in your mouth. Now, however, let's say if he would only say your husband has no rights in it, that itself would not work. Now, the reason for this is, as the Gemara will explain, the Tana of Mishnah is Reb Meir, who he says what's called Yad Isha Ki Yad Baila, which, in other words, that means to say whatever the woman gets, it's automatically considered her husband's. Now, therefore, just saying that your husband has no rights in it, it has no halachic validity. You can't make such a condition. It automatically is. It's like giving something to someone saying, as long as it's not yours, it is yours. That's what you gave it. So therefore, that wouldn't help just to say that. He rather has to say the additional phrase, which the Ran explains. He says, so if that's the case, how does it help by saying the other part of the phrase, the second component, that whatever I'm giving to you is only for your mouth? The reason is because since the woman is only going to merit and whatever she's going to buy with these monies, until when she puts it in her mouth. Now, at the moment she puts it in her mouth, her husband can't be zeich in it anymore. It's already in her mouth. Now, therefore, it's specifically when he tells her, Masha'at neisenes v'neisenes lefich, for your mouth. But if he would tell her only, let's say, what you would put on, that would be problematic, the Ran says, because that, even when she puts it on, when she finally buys something with those monies or clothing, the husband gets it then, and then it's back to the same problem. He's being mahana his son-in-law. So therefore, it has to be specifically, the Ran says, what is going into your mouth. Once in your mouth, it's spoiled, it's ruined, it's already in you, that the husband is not going to be able to merit anything. Only then is when you get it. Because anything else, the husband's getting it, and that's a problem, a violation of the nether. Now actually, the Ran says that there are those who say that actually, no, it's even anything that he designates for her, not just like eating, even, let's say, clothing, because what essentially the father would be telling her is that your husband will never acquire anything, because even the woman's not acquiring it. It's only for this element that it's considered yours. You could wear it or whatever it is I'm earmarking it for. And therefore, it's not going to be a violation of the neder because the husband will not acquire it because even the wife's not acquiring it. Only for this, it's yours. But for anything else, it's not. And therefore, that's how others explain. But according to the Ran, he says that it's specifically in your mouth because, let's say, for clothing, then it would be the woman's, it would be his daughter's, and therefore then the husband would acquire it, which would be a violation of the neder. Now, Amar Rav. Rav says an explanation of the halacha of our Mishnah. He says, Loi shonu, we didn't learn this heter in the Mishnah, which allows a father to give his daughter and not violate the neder of his son-in-law by saying, as we said in the Mishnah, El da Amar lo, only if he tells her, Ma'asha'at noises b'nisenes befich, that whatever you handle, whatever you get, whatever you can do business with this money, is only when it's in your mouth. In other words, like we said in the Mishnah, you have to say both points. You have to say, A, that your husband has no rights in it, and moreover, whatever you do with this money is only yours for your mouth. We're in such a situation that is how we explain that the husband will not acquire it. Aval Amma Masha Tirtziasi, but Rav says, if the father would tell his daughter that Masha Tirtzi, whatever you want to do with this money, do with it, then the problem would be Kana Yosin Baal. Then the husband would acquire it. And the reason being is because saying the words Masha Tirtziasi, do with it as you please, wouldn't be any better than telling his daughter that as long as your husband doesn't have any rights in that. Now, and as we explained, just like a person can't tell the woman, can't tell his daughter that as long as your husband doesn't have any rights in it, because as we explained, the time that the Mishnah is going like Rameh, who says, Yad Isha Kiad Baile, automatically is his. So therefore, even if he would say both, that as long as your husband doesn't have rights, and do with it as you please, that wouldn't help, because essentially they're the same thing. It's trying to hold back the husband's rights, which he has no right to. It's only if you add on this other phrase, which the Mishnah is saying, that whatever you use it for, even you're not getting it until it's in your mouth, so that will avoid the whole problem, because even the woman's not getting it to say Yad Isha Kiad Baile, it's only once it's in her mouth. That's what Rav says. Now, Shmuel Aymer, he argues, he says, Afilo Amma Masha Tirtziasi, even if the father tells his daughter, do with it as you please, Loi Kono Yosin Baal, the husband has not acquired it. Now, as the Ran explains, Shmuel's not arguing on Rav in the interpretation of the Mishnah. Shmuel definitely agrees to Rav, that definitely the Mishnah is talking about, that if you would say Masha Tirtziasi, that would not work. And that's why the Mishnah is specifically saying you have to say this other phraseology of whatever Masha Noises when they send this as only Befich. It's just that on the halacha of Rav, is that what Shmuel's arguing about? In other words, because Rav, first of all, says the halacha in the Mishnah is going like your mayor, who says Yad Isha Kiad Baile. Now, moreover, is that Rav holds like the halacha of the Mishnah. And that's why he paskins and says that if he tells the Masha Tirtziasi, that the husband's going to acquire it, because Yad Isha Kiad Baile, that wouldn't work. Now, Shmuel definitely agrees that the Mishnah is saying that it's only going to work regarding Masha Noises and Noises Befich. But he argues in the halacha, the din, lamaisa of Rav. And that's because Shmuel holds like the Rabbanan, not like the halacha of Mishnah of Remeir, where they don't say Yad Isha Kiad Baile. And therefore, even if he tells his daughter, Masha Tirtziasi, do it as you please, or even if he says, Al Menashe Ein LaBa'alach Rishus Ben, that as long as your husband doesn't have any rights in it, that, which is the equivalent of Masha Tirtziasi, that would work. And that's because you don't say Yad Isha Kiad Baile, you could give it just to the wife, and the husband won't have any rights in it. So you could say, as long as your husband doesn't have any rights in it. That's what the Machlokes Shmuel and Rav is in regards to the Halacha L'maisa. Now, Maskevel Reb Zeira, Reb Zeira asks, now specifically it's phrased in the term of Rav, but as we continue on Tamid Beis, his question is, Kaman Azla Hoshmaita the Rav? According to which opinion is this Halacha of Rav going on, which again is based on the Halacha of our Mishnah? That's Kriya Meir. That's like Reb Meir. How so? Because the Amr, that Reb Meir is the one that's on record that he says in Masechtas Kedushin, in regards to an Eved Kanani, a non-Jewish slave, where there is where the context of this halacha tells us, the Yad Eved Ki Yad Rabboi, whatever the slave gets, automatically is considered that the master got it, because his hand is like his master's hand. Now, so too, Reb Zeira assumes in the interpretation of Rav's halacha, which is based on our Mishnah, what's that based on? That's based on, also, on that's on the foundation of Reb Meir's halacha regarding Eved, is the same thing would apply to the hand of a woman, that also the Yad Isha Kiad Baile. That's what the foundation of this halach is, that her hand is like his hand. It's the same thing as it is by an Eved. Now, and that's why we said that a father can't give his daughter something without saying that your husband has no rights. Well, he has no rights. It is. It's automatic. It's like Yad Eved Kiad Rabba is Yad Isha Kiad Baile. And that's why you have to say it in this other way, that you only get it when it's in your mouth. Now, that is what the Gemara asks, Verminu. But there seems to be a contradiction in Remeir's opinion, who again, you're extending that, as you're saying in our Mishnah, that he holds Yad Isha Kiad Baile. The problem is that it's a Mishnah Masechtas Erevin, that's a Stam Mishnah, which doesn't attribute who the Tana is, which generally we say that's Remeir, and therefore that would seem to contradict what we're saying is Remeir's opinion in our Mishnah, which is Rav who's espousing that view. How so? The Mishnah Masechtas Erevin says as follows, Kesad Mishtatvin B'mavid. The Mishnah there discusses, how do you do what's called Shitufei Mevois, which is similar to the idea of what's called a Ruv Chatzeris. It just takes it one step further out, which is that there's in the Talmudic times, there was a mavoi, which was what we call a dead end, an alley, where courtyards would open up into the mavoi, and the mavoi would open up into the Rishos HaRabim. Now, the problem is, and this is a rabbinic halacha, where although the mavoi is not a Rishos HaRabim per se, but since it gives the appearance of Rishos HaRabim, because it's a sheared area that's not a private it's not even private in the sense of a separate courtyard. So therefore, people are not allowed to carry from their mavoi, where again, people had houses that opened up in their courtyard, then many courtyards opened up into a mavoi, and then many mavois opened up into the Rosh Hashanah. So just like you can't carry from your house to the sheared courtyard, to the chatz, unless everyone makes a Erubah Chatzeres, so too all the courtyards cannot carry in the mavoi unless they all join together and make a shetufa mavois, and they put some type of a food that everyone chips in into one of the courtyards, and that would make it like as if the that make it as if all the courtyards are from this one courtyard, and it's like one courtyard with its yard, which is what the mavi would be in relation to the chatzar. So the Mishnah wants to know, how do you do the shetufa mevois? In other words, do you have to go around collecting from every single courtyard, from every single person to donate food and then to put into one of the courtyards to view as if all of the courtyards are really one courtyard with its one mavoi and therefore it's as one domain? So on that, the Mishnah says you don't have to do that. Actually, what you do is manich es hachabas. One person could put a barrel of wine, which was commonly used in the easiest way of doing shetufa mevois, which everyone chips in. Everyone will join in through this one barrel so that everyone has a portion in this one courtyard, so we see it as one courtyard and not as many courtyards, which would make a problem of carrying in the mavoi. So one person puts down a barrel, and he says, look, he's saying that I'm considering this as if it's for everybody in this alleyway, which means to say that everybody has rights in some of this wine in the barrel. So we consider them as part owners, so therefore that would be considered a valid shetufa mevois instead of having to collect from everybody else. Now, how do you do this? You can't just be mezakeh to them, because someone has to accept it for them. So, but he can't do it himself because it's his. He can't be the same person giving and taking. So you have to have another person, another entity to receive for them. So mezakeh lehen al yedei avdei v'shefchas to ivrim, so he could merit it, bequeath it to them through his Jewish man and female slaves, which they have their own entity. They're not totally owned by their master. Or al yedei benoi b'tei gedolim, or by his adult sons and daughters, which also they're considered separate from their father, or vagde ishtoi, or through his wife, which is also separate from him. They could have separate bank accounts, they're considered separate, and therefore he could give it to his wife and say, here, you acquire it for everybody in the mavoi, and now everyone will consider having a share, and now we did a shetufa mevois. Now that is what the question is, v'i amrid. Now if you're going to say, the way Rav had explained in the opinion of Remeir in our Mishnah, that yad ishki yad baila, problem is, when the husband gives the barrel of wine to his wife, kono yasrin bailo, it's like him giving it from his right hand to his left hand. When he gives it to the wife, now whatever she's acquiring, he automatically acquires. So erev le'nafik mishlus to the baal, essentially the erev has never left his domain. Because if you say that yad ishik yad bailo, so then it's still in his domain. It's from one hand to the other hand, and therefore they never merited. So how does that work? How can you say that Remeir says Yad Ishak Yad Baila when that Mishnah, which is seemingly Remeir too, says that obviously Yad Ishak is not Kiyad Baila? That's the Gemara's difficulty with Rav's interpretation. So Amar Rava, Rava says, you're right, but there's a difference. Avagav de Amar Remeir Yad Ishak Yad Baila, even though Remeir did say, as Rav is explaining in our Mishnah, that the hand of a woman is automatically like the husband has acquired it, but Maid Remeir in Shita, Remeir would agree, as that Mishnah Mesechta Zeirin clearly indicates, regarding shituv, that joining everyone together in this barrel, the kivin de lazakis lacherim, who, why is he giving this barrel to his wife? So that she can merit for everybody else, meaning that he should be giving it to someone else, and she's the agent of everyone. So miyad bay lazachya. So in such a situation, she does acquire it from the hand of her husband, and it's not considered like him taking it from his right hand to his left hand. Now the reason is because although that Remeir, yes, says that usually you're right, a woman cannot acquire anything without her husband automatically being considered having acquired it himself, that's where someone else gives her a gift. Someone else gives it to her, it's like she's like his other hand. But Remeir agrees where if the husband himself gives a gift to his wife, that she has acquired it. And you're right, and the husband would not eat peiros, as he proves in the Gemara Baba Basa, Daf Nun Aleph Amud Beis, where seemingly everyone agrees to the halacha, when he's giving it to her, well, obviously, it's not him getting it because he's giving it. So obviously, it's for her to have it. Now, and that is what Rav is explaining. He's extending this a little bit further. He's saying the same thing would be over here. Now, although here, the husband's not really giving her anything. It's not giving her something that to go to her because she's not taking it. It's just to merit for other people. But on that, Rav Meir extends that to say that he would agree there also that that's not where someone else is giving her. He's giving it to her so that it shouldn't be him anymore. Now, although it's not to her, everyone agrees if he's giving something to her, for sure she gets it. Here it's for her, for everybody else, but she'll be considered not him, not his yad, because that's specifically why he's doing it, giving it to her. That Rav Meir would agree that yad isha would not be kiyad baila. Now, on that, Eis v'Ravina l'Ravashi. Now, on this answer of Rava, Ravina asked to Ravashi. Now, as the Ran explains, that Ravina is not trying to necessarily refute Rava, because, in other words, even without Rava, the question he's going to ask from the following Brisa is intrinsically difficult on the Mishnayos that we mentioned up until now. It's just because he wants to reject Rava's interpretation, his answer, and his resolution to that, and how he does it is by posing this difficulty from the Brisa, but it's difficult inherently with or without Rava, but all we're going to have to say is that we're going to have to give a different interpretation than what Rava had given. Because the Brisa says as follows, Elu shezochin lehen, it's through these people that a person who wants to do a shetufa mevayis could have it be merited for everybody else through giving it to this other person. Who? The one who wants to do it, the balabais that wants to give it, he could do it alidei benoyu b'tai gedoylim, through his adult sons and daughters, or va'avdei b'shevchas ho'ivrim, or through his Jewish male or female servants. They're considered distinct from him. They have their own yad. But ve'elu she'ein zochel, and these are people that you can't be mezakeh to everyone else through them because they're considered no yad as a part of you. Alidei benoyu b'tai haketanim, if he would do it through his child, son and daughters, their young ones, where they don't have their own yad, that wouldn't work. Or va'avdei b'shevchas haketanim, or for his non-Jewish male and female slaves, where they're considered like cattle, considered owned by the master. It's like they're his yad. And v'ishtoi, and his wife, is also considered her hand like his hand. Therefore, he can't give it to her to be mezakeh to everybody else. Now, the question is why? But Rava said, whoever the husband is being mezakeh it to the woman for other people, then it is that she's considered like she has a yad. But the problem is, here he clearly, even though he's giving it to her for everybody else, we're saying that she doesn't have a yad. Now, although this is definitely a difficulty inherently, as we said, where one Mishnah is telling us in Erevin that he could do it through the wife, and here in the Bray is saying he cannot do it through the wife. So yeah, that's a difficulty. But what we're pointing at is, we're going to give an answer for that. But Rava's answer definitely doesn't work, because he said whenever you're giving it to her to merit for other people, that works. And here we see clearly in the Bray that is not working. So Elam of Ravashi, rather Ravashi gives a different resolution, and that will also explain this Mishnah and this Brisa. Masnitin, the Mishnah Masechet is Erevin, when we learned that he can be mezakeh to hit to through his wife for everyone else. That's specifically b'sheyesh lo chatzar ba'isim mavayaskin. That's specifically talking about where the woman herself has a separate courtyard in that mavay. And how do you have that? Isn't everything that the woman has the husband's? As we're saying, it's Yad Ishak Yad Bailo. We're saying that's like Rav Meir. As the Ran explains, we'd be told about that when she was engaged, she inherited this courtyard, and the husband, the chassan, wrote to her when she was still engaged, what's called Din Advarim Ein LeBenachsayach. I have no litigation. I have no rights in these properties. Where in such a case, as the Gemara explains, she gets to hold on to it. It's not considered her husband's. Now, that is what Ravashi explains. That's where the Mishnah Masechet Erevin is saying, Demigi Dezach LeNafsha, since she herself could merit in this barrel of wine because it's to permit her own courtyard in this mavay. Whereas we explained before, everyone agrees, even Rav Meir, that if a husband's giving a gift to his wife, not just as an agent of other people, to the wife, even Rav Meir would agree that the woman has her own yad because obviously he's giving it to her and therefore he's not giving it from one hand to the other hand. So that's why the Mishnah Masechet Erevin says, Zachil Achrina. That is why she can then go ahead and be Zachit to other people, to all the people of the Mavi, because that's based on the principle of what's called a Migui. Since I can get it for myself, I could also take it for you. Now, however, the Brisa that said that she can be Zachit for other people was because when she has no own courtyard, when she doesn't have her own courtyard, and the husband's not giving it to her, he's giving it to her, but not for her. He's giving it for everyone else. That would be like from his right hand to his left, and exactly like Rav had said, which answers the original question too, and that is, you're right. Rav is correct in an interpretation of our Mishnah of Rav Meir, that Yad Isha Yad Baila. And that's why the Brisa that we just brought says you can't be mezakeh through the wife, because it's going from the right hand to the left hand. even though it's to give it to other people, but she's considered the same as him. Now, however, the Mishnah Masechet Erevin that says you could do it through the wife was talking about because of a different halacha. When you're giving something for the wife and to the wife, then it is considered a valid matona and it's not considered Yad Yishkat Bailo. It's actually Toma where she has her own chatzar. And since when she's getting the barrel of wine from her husband, it works for herself. So that's where the principle of Migu, that since it works for herself, she could also then go ahead and be Zeicha for everyone else in the Mavli, because now it's not a problem of Yad Yishkat Bailo, because it's being given to her, and then she can be Zeicha for everyone else too.